up the
waterboarding. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Move on to roll call the board of directors. Director Trevino.
Present.
Director Chavez.
Present.
Director Santana. Vice President Fellow.
Present.
President Garcia.
Present. Let's move to the adoption of the agenda. I'll entertain a motion.
Present. Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? Motion carried. Thank you. Let's move to public comment. Is there any public comment?
Good afternoon, Madam President. We have not received any written public comments. However, if anyone wishes to speak, they may do so now at the podium.
All right, seeing none, we'll move on to committee reports. There are none for this month. And then consent calendar. Is there a motion?
Motion to approve.
Second.
There's been a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Right. Are there any opposed? Awesome. So the consent calendar is passed. And let's move on to my favorite part of today, the presentations for Being Waterwise's art competition.
She's a teacher.
And we really appreciate all the parents and students attending today. This art contest, sponsored by Metropolitan Water District, goes across the whole Southern California region. Thousands and thousands of students learn about water and how it's important in our daily lives. And we're always really happy to host our local San Gabriel Valley schools and students in this art contest. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Alexis,
Alexis, no
sorry,
worries.
to lead this presentation.
Yes, good afternoon, President Garcia and directors. I'll be providing a brief overview over this year's Being Waterwise art contest, followed by the recognition of our student winners. Next slide. Upper Water has received over 85 student art submissions from all across five divisions of the upper service area. 15 of the top 20 entries were submitted to the MWD Student Art Calendar Contest, which will be announced later this year. And our contest voting took place during Water Awareness Month, with the most votes casted at our Waterfest event. Next slide. Today's celebration highlights the outstanding creativity and dedication of our local youth. On behalf of staff, we want to thank the students, teachers, and parents and supporters who made this program a success and continue to advocate for water conservation. At this time, I'd like to invite the directors to help me present the certificates. I will call for the top five students from each category. As your name is called, please come forward to receive your certificate and remain at the front for a group photo, please. And we're going to start with kindergarten to sixth grade category. So I have the certificates here. And I have okay. I have four groups. Yes. Okay. Next slide. You could, yes.
Yeah.
So in our fourth place winner is Jian Chow from St. Luke Catholic School in Temple City. Our third place winner is Melissa Nunez, also from St. Luke. Our second place winner is Manuel Carmona from St. Luke. And our first place winner is Allison Barreto from Longley Way Elementary School.
You get money for this kid.
I think it should
have real money.
Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, thank you. Thank you.
She didn't know.
Oh, she didn't know.
One,
she
two,
three.
She didn't know.
That is so cute.
Yeah.
This is our third and fifth graders. Starting with our fifth place winner is Nicole Lee from the LA Art Academy. Jaden Kwong from LA Art Academy. Alina Zhang from also LA Art Academy. Caitlin Shu from LA Art
I think that there was a certain level of embarrassment because she did not know that I was on the on the panel.
If you
okay.
She knew that Patty was.
Okay.
Because I was an add-on. I was not an original panel.
Kelly, can you mute, please?
There we go. Sorry about that. Okay, let me go to first place, right?
Yes, we're on to the first. Oh, actually, sorry.
Go back.
Caitlin Shu, is she here?
Yeah.
Oh, there she is.
Yeah.
And we'll take a quick photo.
There you go.
Go ahead first.
We have Alina.
Oh, okay.
One, two, three.
Is Alina here? Alina Zhang? We also have your certificate here also. You were our... our third place winner.
Let's take a quick picture.
Thank you. So we'll be moving on to our sixth and eighth grade categories.
Did you do Lucas?
So,
oh, sorry, is Lucas here?
Lucas is Nicole.
Oh, you want, okay.
I will
switch with you. Oh, and the first place winner was Lucas Barreto. And his sister can take it.
Yes.
Yay! Congratulations, you guys.
Thank you. Moving on to our sixth through eighth grade categories, starting in fifth place is our winner, Sienna Caballero from Hollencrest Middle School. Fourth place, Allison Lee from Richard Garvey Intermediate. Third place, Emily Chung from Hollencrest Middle School. And then second place, Jillian Ling from Hollencrest Middle School. And then our first place winner was Ali Wong from Richard Garvey Intermediate.
Thank you.
Yay.
And finally, moving on to our high school category, our fifth place winner is Jessica Serrano from Los Altos High School. Our fourth place winner is Isabel Nguyen from Sierra Vista. Our third place winner is Winnie Wang from LA Art Academy. I believe she's here.
There you go. Perfect. 1, 2, 3.
And in second place came Adam Bo from Los Altos High School. And our first place winner is Troy Park from also Los Altos High School. And that concludes the presentation. Yes. So if you'd like, we could do like a group photo. It's up to you guys.
Yeah, let's do that. Okay. All the winners. Come on.
You know, I did a great job. Mm-hmm. So that's hard to design.
I'll let the parents take a photo first.
Mm-hmm. How much the fun? I'm good creativity, guys.
Okay, one more.
Right over here? Okay, one, and get a little closer? Yeah. Okay, 1, 2, 3. Thank you.
Congratulations again to all our winners. Your creativity and commitment to water conservation is truly inspiring. At this time, I would like to have a reminder. We will continue with our formal board meeting if you would like. I would like to thank the guests for coming and ask that if you do not plan to stay for the remainder of the meeting, now is a good opportunity to proceed to the lobby where you're welcome to enjoy cookies and refreshments. Thank you to the board for allowing me to present, and thank you again for joining us.
So thank you. And we are pretty boring after this. So I would have cookies are way more entertaining. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Up to the front. Oh, welcome to the
Say thank you.
Yeah, you want to hear. Let's take a picture.
Lucas.
Yeah. Oh, we got to do a picture. Yeah.
Yes, let's do it. Come on, Lucas. We'll get
them.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you. They're brothers, sisters.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Like 1, 2, 3.
Oh, God. Awesome. Sorry. Thank you guys for your appreciate everything.
This is your second year doing this.
We appreciate it.
Thank you.
What do I get?
Thank you. You guys take care and thank you for everything. I appreciate it.
Enjoy your cookies. All right. It's my favorite part of the year. And let's move on to action discussion items for 9A, Upper Waters Integrated Resources Plan. Tom?
We presented this at the Water Resources Facility Management Committee earlier this month. And I also presented it to our producers on the 10th of this month as well. This started actually in 2020. We were working on updating our integrated resources plan. Metropolitan had just started the update of their integrated resources plan as well at that same time. Now, COVID slowed us down a little bit. They slowed MWD. But MWD took quite a while to, longer than they normally do, because the Camp for Water process kind of took over and they went through some iterations before they got to their findings from their integrated resource plan. So once we got those, working with Jenny Savron, Jenny was key in developing this plan. We developed this integrated resource plan. And so I'll start the presentation. It'll help me explain the reasons why we need to do this. And then very happy with what we found in terms of results, how we can achieve sustainability here in this groundwater basin using the asset and tools we now have in place here in the San Gabriel Valley. So next slide. Again, this is the questions, crucial questions. How will all our demand change on a per capita basis? How will we grow in the San Gabriel Valley? A new question's come up that we're working on the answer to. How will data centers affect water use in the region? Is that something we need to factor in? We sure do. How significant will it be? We don't know yet. On imported supply, will Metropolitan, this is a real key question, make the investments for improved reliability? Will Delta Conveyance get built? Will Pure Water get built? What will MWD do to ensure our reliability of that imported water supply? And none of that is certain, as we all know. Pure Water, at least it got in the budget, but there's a lot of concerns about the cost of that project. Delta Conveyance has all kinds of problems with implementation. So that's something we need to consider. And how will climate change affect our local water supply, stormwater capture? And then lastly, are there other local project opportunities? Can we get more recycled water locally? Is there a groundwater recovery, so forth? So those were the questions that we were wrestling with when we developed this integrated resource plan. Next slide. So MET's IRP findings were very interesting because they looked at, okay, what if demands stay low? And I think a lot of the direction and MWD's demands are at historic lows. Our customers, or at least our producers' demands, are very low. Water conservation has been very effective. And so demands are low, but how quickly will they grow? Will they grow, and how quickly will they grow? So in MWD's analysis, they did four scenarios. Scenario A and C assume those demands will not go up very quickly. Scenario B and D says those demands will grow at a faster rate in the region. How will climate change affect our water supply? In this case, for Metropolitan, the imported water supply. So the two scenarios at the top, A and B, assume that climate change will not have a significant impact on our imported water supply. And scenario C and D, climate change will have a more significant impact on our water supply. So you may have heard recently in the news about the climate models that are being considered realistic or probably not realistic. So back when MWD was doing this analysis, they used for scenario C and D, RCP, I don't know what that stands for, regional climate, forecast model, 8.5 for scenario C and D. Those are the most severe extreme impacts of climate change. It also assumes the world will not stop burning coal, they'll not stop burning fossil fuels, and climate change will accelerate. Scenario A and B is RCP 4.5. So in the last few months, the scientists have generally agreed, not all, but generally agreed that perhaps our RCP 8.5 is not likely to occur. They don't know, it's all uncertain. So we base this on uncertainty. For the time being, MWD, and in our IRP that I'm going to show you later, we have assumed scenario C and D. Those are the scenarios that we have assumed might occur in the situation. So those are the worst, I won't say they're the worst case scenarios, but they are not the best case scenario by any means. Next slide. So focusing in on scenario C, MWD, their analysis shows that if scenario C comes to fruition, and reminder, scenario C is demands do not increase very rapidly, that by 2045, MWD could be in shortage 20% of the time, roughly 20% of the time. It also shows that they could have unmanaged surpluses, water that they just goes to the ocean because they don't have a place to put it, 26% of the time. Those two areas, the shortage and the unmanaged supplies, are the solid orange and purple areas on that graph. The hashed areas, both on the shortage side and the supply side, are times when MET can put water in storage, or they can take water out of storage to meet demand. So they're not in shortage in terms of a supply standpoint. But 20% of the time, 2 years out of 10, do we want to ration water? How reliable do we think we need to be? And I think 2 years out of 10, I think back in the 90s, we thought maybe that's not so bad, but that's not the case anymore. I don't think MWD feels that they can plan to be rationing water or in an allocation 2 years out of 10. Next slide. And then this is scenario D, which is obviously much worse. If bans go up more rapidly, then MWD could be in shortage 42% of the time. So it's much worse. The trends right now do not indicate demands are going to go up that rapidly. It's generally agreed that if the demands do start to increase, they will not increase suddenly. It will be a gradual increase, and we can look at signposts. We can monitor that and say, hey, demands are going up more than we thought they were. We may need to, speaking for MWD and the MWD member agency, may need to accelerate some of our spending on some of the water supply reliability projects like Pure Water. Next slide. So on demands, this is the historical upper water demands. This is total demand on upper water. This is all groundwater pumping. It's local water. It's imported water within our service area. And you can see the trend over the last couple of decades. If you look at the long-term historic average, it was close to 200,000 acre feet. The recent 10-year average is much less, 143,000 acre feet. And we do not see that increasing. Historically, and I'll go back to the 1991 drought, we were in rationing, mandatory cutbacks, and we had to reduce water demands in 1991. And when the drought was over, those demands shot right back up very rapidly. In the last couple of drought cycles, when we've called for conservation, that has not happened. The behavior has changed. We've got some demand hardening. The low flow toilets are installed, the low flow shower heads, and people's behavior has changed on a permanent basis. I think we all remember, how long did it take for us to wear our seatbelts, right? It took a long time for that behavior change. It actually was a law. You'd get a ticket if you didn't wear your seatbelt. We are seeing that change in behavior. So for our analysis, we are assuming that demands are not going to increase rapidly. The San Gabriel Valley is built out. We know there's going to be densification. There's going to be infill. We're going to go to multifamily. And we know when you go to multifamily, your per capita, the water use per person in multifamily is less than the per person water use in a single family. So that's why we don't think demands are going to go up very rapidly. Next slide. So let's talk about our local rainfall. Long-term historical rainfall under the Long Beach judgment. This was used in the Long Beach judgment, 18.5 inches of rain here in the San Gabriel Valley. That's the four station index from Pomona to all the way over to Pasadena, I believe. So if you look at the long-term drought average, and we've been in a drought for 20 years from 2006 to now, it's only been 13 inches, significantly less. And then if you look at the 11-year period from 2011 to 2022, which is not on this graph, but it was significantly lower. In fact, you see the 2011 to 2016, it was only nine inches, roughly half of the long-term average. So we know we have variability, a lot of volatility in our local rainfall. And that 11-year period is the driest on the historical record. So we feel that is a representative example of, we could see that again, so we should plan for that. Next slide. The other part I mentioned earlier is we do need to look, what other opportunities do we have for water supply here locally? Recycled water, we pretty well ruled that out. There's all of the recycled water at San Jose Creek and Whittier Narrows, our nearby wastewater recycling plants, is already put to beneficial use, either here in the San Gabriel Valley with our project or in the Central Basin with water replenishment districts, replenishment projects. Stormwater capture, the county's facilities are tremendous. I would say some of the best, maybe the best in the region. The Santa Ana River does a really good job of capturing stormwater. The San Gabriel River system, tremendous job. 95% of the rainfall that falls in the upper watershed is captured and stored either in the San Gabriel Basin or in the Central Basin. Groundwater recovery, if you go to other regions, West Basin, there is groundwater wells that cannot be pumped because they got brackish water, they got contamination or some other reason. This board and your predecessors on this board and others they had a lot of foresight. Decades ago, they formed the Water Quality Authority to help groundwater cleanup in the basin. So we're not missing groundwater production here in this basin because of contamination or other reasons. We effectively utilize groundwater production in this basin. So there's not much opportunity there. Now, occasionally, and antennas back there, so occasionally with South Pasadena, you'll get a surprise chemical. So I think it was 1-2-3 TCP showed up. You had to shut down wells. You had to use more imported water for a while till you got treatment on those. But that's a short-term, that's a transient situation for the most part here in the San Gabriel Valley. And then storage. We know this basin has a vast amount of storage. And we've learned how much storage it has. And with this drought years, when we hit a historic low of 167 feet at the Key Well, and then we are now near a historic high under the judgment of, what did we get to, 267? Close to, close to 267 feet. So let's say that's 100 feet, and using Steve Johnson's rule of thumb of 8,000 acre feet per foot, that's 800,000 acre feet of water. That is a Diamond Valley lake under our feet here. So it's a tremendous asset that we need to recognize and put to use for our water supply reliability. On a regional basis, of course, we've got Pure Water, the Recycled Water Project, which we hope MWD does move forward with, and we certainly are advocating for that. Ocean desalinization, and some people might ask, you're not on the ocean here in the San Gabriel Valley. Through MWD system and their, some of their new business model changes that allows for member agencies to exchange water, if Las Virgenes builds their ocean desal project, we can participate in that and through MWD system exchange water. It's not the same molecule of water, but you know they produce water, Met delivers less water to them, and then there's more water available for us. So we can participate in ocean desalinization. I'm not saying we should or need to right now, but it is an opportunity out there that we should keep our eye on. And then there's other transfers and exchanges, not only within the Met system, but on the state project side. As an individual Met member agency, we could try and work our own deal with another state contractor. Of course, it would have to go through Metropolitan, but it's not impossible to do that. So I don't think we should take it off the list. Today, I don't think it's something we need to elevate to a priority effort, but it's something we should always keep in mind. Next slide. So let's talk about that groundwater storage. You know the Key Well chart. You've seen it many times. So the base case here is the green line, scenario one. And that shows that if we had that same 11-year dry period occur again from the Key Well elevation that it is today or back in when we did this back in April or so, if we didn't get any more imported water and we had another 11-year drought, the Key Well would drop down below 145 feet and wells would go out of production. So that's obviously something we want to avoid. Scenario two is based on MWD's IRP scenario C. That's impacts to imported water supplies from climate change, 20% or shortages 20% of the time. And in that scenario, we would, when MWD is in surplus, they turn on cyclic storage. And what that means is they will deliver as much water as we can take, and we have 10 years to buy that water. So, you know, having money to buy the water at the time is not an issue if we use that cyclic storage agreement. In a normal year, they're not in shortage and they're not in surplus. We can still buy water from Metropolitan. Instead of buying the water that's in a cyclic storage account, take that money and we buy a wet water delivery that year. So that would be 5 years, we buy 40,000 in an allocation. If they're in shortage, depending on how deep that shortage is, we can still buy water from Met. Our baseline for that is 29,000 acre feet. So if they're in a, let's say if they're in a 10% shortage, we can still buy 20,000 acre feet, even if Met's in a shortage supply. That doesn't consider the state water project dependent situation they had a few years ago. So in that situation, we only got 14,000 acre feet. But I think for this scenario, these are reasonable assumptions going forward. And you can see if we're able to do that. Now, that's a lot of water and that's a lot of money over a 10-year period. But it shows that we can sustain the basin at a level that we achieve water supply reliability. Okay, next slide. So this is based on the worst case MWD scenario D. So in the previous one, we would be able to take cyclic deliveries of 100,000 acre feet, I think 3 years out of the 10. In this case, we only get that 1 year out of the 10. And then there's 5 years we could buy 45,000. They're not in shortage or surplus, and 4 years in shortage. And so it still shows that we maintain the Key Well above the operating range of 200 feet. So it's even in that scenario, using basin storage, we could get through another 11-year drought cycle and maintain water supply reliability. Now, that begs the question, well, why didn't we do that from 2011 to 2022? And the answer is we did not have the tools in place for us to be able to do that. We barely got a cyclic agreement with MET, and it was only a 5-year payment period. Water Master adopted their resource development assessment, which is a big source of funding to buy water. That had just started, and it was ramping up over time. And so we didn't have those tools in place during that last, soon enough in the last 11-year cycle. But if, with those tools in place now, and if we use those tools to manage our supplies, we can survive another severe, well, I won't call it severe, but that 11-year historic dry period. Next slide. And then this one is, if MET builds Pure Water, we're going to get 60,000 acre feet a year, every year from that project. And you can see how the basin will react. We maintain the basin in really good shape over that period of time. Next slide. So summary of our findings. The reduced water demands we've seen over the last several years are not expected to significantly rebound. Future water demand increases are not expected to be significant, and we'll watch that. If they do start to rise faster than expectations, then we may want to take different actions. Our local water supply forecast is based on that historic dry period. I was hoping that we could look at some of the climate models and see if we could help predict what our local... Climate models don't work on a local basis. They are large-scale regional climate models, so it's the Southwest United States is the basis. So the other note is, so if we've reduced our demand so much over the last 10 or 15 years, why are we still buying a lot of MET water? You know, our imported water deliveries have not, in fact, they may have gone up a little bit. And the reason is that local water supply, that 11 or 20 years of locally dry conditions, we're just not getting the local runoff that we did historically. And that's why, you know, our demands are down, but we're still buying the same amount of imported water. And then again, the other finding, we're using the MWD shortage frequency of 20%. And that's assumes MWD doesn't build Pure Water and Delta Conveyance and other water supply projects don't get built. Next slide. So what are our water resource management tools? And I mentioned them earlier, they're in place. The big tool, which is the basin storage, has always been there, the capacity of the main San Gabriel Basin. The MWD cyclic storage agreements. And then Water Master's discretion on setting the operating safe yield. And for the last more than decade, they've been very conservative in setting the safe operating yield in combination with the resource development assessment, which Water Master is currently discussing changing or increasing the resource development assessment. As the price of MWD water and MET's RTS charges going up, it's reducing the purchasing power, Water Master's purchasing power for acre feet of water. And so as MET's rates go up, if Water Master doesn't generate more revenue, then they're not able to buy as much water. They have to buy less water. So that's in progress. And then the recommendations are also in the memo and in the staff recommendation to adopt this integrated resource plan. We're also asking you to direct staff to implement the plan recommendations, and that is utilize main San Gabriel base groundwater basin storage capacity to maximize the delivery and storage of imported water, utilizing the MWD cyclic storage agreement and Water Master's RDA and operating safe field groundwater management tools, and then continue to pursue and monitor local and regional water supply initiatives. And with that, be happy to answer any questions.
Are there any questions?
Yeah, Tom, last weekend we were up at Sites Reservoir, where they're going to build Sites Reservoir. And that's, you know, according to Congressman Calvert, that seems to be something that's really on fast track in the Congress. They've given money And it looks like I'm amazed at this progress they've made. But that will bring 400,000 acre feet to Met. If Met has to invest 1.8 billion, though.
Yeah, and I do not know the amount of money in terms of an annual benefit in terms of water supply that we'll get from the project, but it is beneficial to Met. Right now, MWD is a 20%, if I remember right, 20% partner on that project. And of the projects, if you look at Pure Water, it's got a lot of work to do. It's very expensive. Delta Conveyance has a lot of implementation challenges. But sites at this point in time seems the most viable water supply project that might actually get implemented in a reasonable time frame.
Would we have to get in line for that water, or is it just go to Met and Met distribute?
It just goes to Met. Now we could have, and there still might be opportunity. We could actually, and I'm not recommending we do this, and I don't think we should do it, but we could individually, as a Met member agency, become an equity partner in sites. So we would have a call on a certain amount of water. I don't think it's something we should do or need to do, but as a Met member agency, based on their allocation of water, we would get our proportionate share of that new water supply.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? If there are no more questions, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll move.
Second.
It's been moved by Director Trevino and seconded by Director Fellow. Just a normal.
First,
Okay,
yeah.
voice vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion passes. Yay. Let's move on to 9B, Aqua's Vision for Our Water Future Resolution.
This is something that Aqua have been working on for some time, and I think Director Fellow, being a representative of Aqua, has something to say to this. But and this is actually pretty significant because within Aqua, you've got ag interest and urban interest. You've got Northern California, you've got Southern California. And it's an organization sometimes that, not everyone agrees on everything, but I think their effort here has kind of put some priorities together that everyone, I would say almost every Aqua member is comfortable with. It's not a fatal flaw to any of us. So part of it is to deal with the leadership on a statewide water agenda. So that's part of this is to establish a unified executive leadership on a statewide water agenda. Secondly, protect affordability through state investment and improve funding delivery. Third, strengthening California's critical water infrastructure, Delta Conveyance, Sites Reservoir, dealing with the subsidence on the California Aqueduct, those kinds of problems. And then improving the regulatory and operational systems that impede our ability to move water when it's available. So, Director Fell, I don't know if you have more to say, but we are recommending that the board adopt this resolution supporting the Aqua vision of our California water future.
Yeah, I'll just mention, Madam Chair, one of the major points why this got started was to for the gubernatorial race in California. That Aqua and some, many of the directors did not believe that the candidates know much about water. And this was a way to educate them. They've met with there's teams of Aqua that have met with both Hilton and Becerra, and they want to continue this dialogue so that they can be up to speed. And I think it's been passed by almost every agency in Aqua except ours so far. And but it's I think it's a good at first I thought it was overwhelming, and I had some work to do in this, and but I think it's workable now, and we're just waiting to see with Carla Nemeth when she comes in September. She'll be the leader of this, and especially in our talks with the legislature. But I think it's good. And some of us got upset years ago during Proposition 4, where Aqua did not support Met and Met's vote, and which caused lots of problems. And the reason they didn't support it, they said it wasn't enough money. Well, hell, it's all only money that the state's going to give you, so take it. And so that got us upset at Met. I've been trying to bring a Don Moore into the fold to help me with some of this stuff at Aqua. And we have some task force that are going to be put in order. But I think it's a good thing right now.
We'll start recommendation.
And I'll second it.
It's been moved by Director Trevino and seconded by Director Fellow. All those in favor?
Aye.
Are there any opposed? All right, motion passes. 9C, CSDA's Board of Directors Election Southern Network C. Tom?
Yeah, so we are members of the California Special Districts Association, and there's a southern area that has a board. One of those seats, I think it's C, is up for election, and there are four candidates that have submitted candidate information sheets. Nikki Winslow, who is the current board member, is the Altadena Library District. The other candidates, Jason Dafforn, Valley Sanitary District, that's out in Indio. John Horst with Dubuque Canyon Water District, down in Orange County. Lastly, Melinda Sednak with 29 Palms Cemetery District. So staff do not have a recommendation. But, you know, generally the board might want to consider both geography and type of agency. So, you know, one of these is a water district. You may want to take that into consideration. And one of them is in the San Gabriel Valley in Altadena. The others are not in the area, not water district. So with that, it's up to the board, or if you want to leave this to the general manager's discretion.
Can I just ask, what, like, I was looking through on these, and John Horst, the Tulare? TFTC.
That's Tribuco Canyon Water.
Because he's the only water person.
Right.
Does that benefit us to have a water person?
It is something the board can take under consideration.
I don't know.
And if you're asking my opinion, I would like to see water people on, on these boards.
No.
All right. Dr. Trevino.
Yeah, I make a recommendation. I move that Director Chavez be the writing candidate for the position.
Do you know any of these people, Charles?
No, but I prefer to go with the water person. Yeah. And if there's two water persons,
I have a water person right here.
You know, Southern Cal or LA County. Mm-hmm. So I would go with John. I'm not impressed with his penmanship, but I would support him.
So you're saying that you're not interested in being the write-in candidate for that?
I could write in a lot better than his write-in. Is
Are there any more questions, comments? Well, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll go ahead and nominate, is it John Horst?
Horst, yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
It's been moved by Director Chavez to nominate John Horst for the CSDA's Board of Electors Election Southern Network seat C, and seconded by Director Trevino. All in favor?
Aye.
Are there any opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Well, let's move on to item 9D, Cooperative Water Exchange Agreement, Alhambra Exchange, 1975. Tom?
So Jenny's going to tag team with me on this and has been really helpful in putting this presentation together. You know, I'm just going to make a comment that, you know, when we stood up for the pledge, Steve Johnson usually moved to the side because you can't see over him. But the point I'm making is if Steve Johnson is the brawn of Stetson, Jenny's the brains.
There you go.
Yeah. You know, this is actually called the Cooperative Water Exchange Agreement. Its nickname is the Alhambra Exchange Agreement. Been around since 1975. From time to time, we get questions. We get questions from MWD, either a director or staff, about why is this agreement in place? Why is MET delivering water outside its service area? So I think it's important to understand the history here and why this agreement is in place and why it needs to continue for the management of the main San Gabriel Basin. So with that, I'm going to have Jenny start with the first few slides, and then I'll take over. Jenny's going to go over the history and some of the science and
background.
Yeah, background.
Over here is the western portion of the main basin, and this area is called the Alhambra Pumping Hole. Next slide. There are seven producers that pump in this western area. Next point. And then down here you'll see that little, it's listed there. San Gabriel District, Valley Municipal Water District has one member agency, which is City of Alhambra. And Upper Water has the remaining six agencies, which is San Gabriel County Country Club, San Gabriel County Water District, City of South Pasadena, Golden State Water Company, the South San Gabriel System, Sunny Slope Water Company, and Cal American Water Company. And based on the judgment, producers are allowed to pump above their production rights. And if they do, they incur a replacement water assessment. And with that, they can purchase replacement water, or Water Master purchases the replacement water to help make up for the overproduction. And it gets recharged into the basin and spreading grounds. The next point, please. Historically, this area, overproduction has been about, on average, 3,000 acre feet per year. And then next point. And Alhambra makes up about 37.4%, but through the presentation, I'm just gonna say 1,000 acre feet because it's easier. And then Upper Water is 62.6%, which is about 2,000 acre feet. And that's all the six water agencies under Upper Water. Next slide. And this is a groundwater contour map from July 2018. You put the next point. I think it's, we got the little pumping hole there going over there. So the problem, the pumping hole in the western area of the main basin. And I just want to point out the at the northwestern portion is the Raymond Fault. Above that is the Raymond Basin.
And the Raymond Fault runs pretty parallel to Huntington Drive when it diagonals down through San Marino, but just north of that. In fact, if you go north of Huntington down in the San Marino area, you'll see a bluff. There's a bit of a bluff. That is the fault. That change in elevation is the fault. So that's the Raymond Fault that separates the Raymond Basin from the main San Gabriel Basin. And I it almost goes under Director Fellow's house.
No, I was going to mention,
Director Fellow, you are in the Raymond Basin. Your house is in the Raymond Basin.
But you know, there's a big building that used to be Hoffman Electronics, and it's been empty. And the reason is that the fault goes right underneath that building. It's huge, and they can't use it.
So when getting on, we're doing this, I think it's something we'll put on the list for a presentation of the board. We don't talk about the Raymond Basin, but we should, you know, get you up to speed on the Raymond Basin, how it functions, its interactions, its relationship to the main San Gabriel Basin.
I just wanted to point out, so on the western portion, you'll see the Alhambra pumping hole, and the water elevation back in July 2018 is about 120 feet. And then at that time, the key well was about 197 feet. So you see the big difference. And next slide. Oh, and why is this a problem, or why do we have this problem here in the Alhambra pumping hole area? Next slide. So next point. So there's the pumping hole, and then we have the border in there too, so it matches the first map. Next point. This area has issues receiving replacement water. Next point. And there's no lack of spreading grounds in the western portion. And next point. And then you could see the groundwater flow path. Everything goes south towards the narrows, but you can see that nothing's going towards the west to fill in that area. And the next, and so therefore water levels can't recover. Okay, next slide. So here, next point. The another reason is the basin's geological formations. On the western area right there is the Alhambra pumping hole, but you'll see that there's a bedrock aquifer that's a little bit blocking, preventing water to go towards the west. And the main portion right here is the rest of the main basin. Next point, you'll see water's being, this is percolating, but then when the levels go up, it takes a while, and it finally, when it reaches a point, it'll eventually flow into the west portion. Next slide. So the solution that everyone came up with is the Alhambra Exchange. Water Master developed the Cooperative Water Exchange Agreement in 1975, and it's between Metropolitan, Upper Water, Water Master, San Gabriel Valley Municipal Water District, and the City of Alhambra. And next slide.
So I'll talk about the solution. The solution for a pumping hole is to reduce pumping, either get water replenishment, which is not possible given the geology and the geography, or reduce pumping. So this shows those blue lines are the MWD major feeders, the middle feeder, and then the Palos Verdes feeder over to the west. USG1, I think that's Cal American or... Yeah, I think Cal American yeah. uses USG1. But you see USG5, which is in the city of Alhambra, not in the MWD service area. It turned out that that was the most feasible, practical location to take imported, treated imported water. The city of Alhambra reduces their pumping by 3,000 acre feet. And they're able to have that region be sustainable from a groundwater supply standpoint. Director?
Yeah, Tom, USG1, is that in the city of Monterey Park?
I think that's Golden State's connection. So it might be in San Diego.
It's on the border, yeah. but it serves the Golden State area that's down in that region. And they do use that on a regular basis, not a lot. You know, we probably deliver.
We don't have anything to do with Monterey Park as far as our agency.
That's correct. So we'll back up. So the city of Alhambra and Monterey Park are in the San Gabriel district's boundaries. They're not in our boundary. They're one of the four city district. The little district is city of Alhambra and Monterey Park, Sierra Madre, and then part of Azusa is in the San Gabriel district. So, and again, to Jenny's point, 2/3 of the pumping hole problem is upper water producers. So 2,000 of the 3,000 acre feet is our producers that were overproducing unsustainably in the basin. So by getting Alhambra to reduce their pumping by 3,000 acre feet, the upper producers in upper water service area could continue their pumping the way they always have done. So this is a win-win for both agencies. But it creates a challenge. Nick, go through the next couple of points. So because MWD and the state water contractors can't deliver water into their neighboring service area. But there are ways to do that. And most of them are called cooperative exchange agreements. So MWD delivers 3,000 acre feet at USG5. Alhambra reduces their groundwater production by a similar amount. Next slide. And that's considered replacement water. That's the same as if we delivered water through USG3 to the Santa Fe spreading grounds. In this case, we're delivering water so the water is never pumped out of the ground, and that's the same as replacement water. Next slide. So the city of Alhambra overproduction is 1,000 acre feet. That's the 1/3. Next. And then the other six upper water producers overproduction is 2,000 acre feet. Okay. Next slide. Okay, so I already talked about their separate MWD and the San Gabriel Valley Municipal Water District, separate state water contractors under the Monterey Agreement. They can't deliver water in each other's service area, but you can exchange water. You can do transfers and exchanges. Next slide. Next slide. So the way this works is upper water delivers 3,000 acre feet to the city of Alhambra. But Alhambra's only overproduction is only 1,000 acre feet. So the San Gabriel district delivers 1,000 acre feet through their connection up in the canyon to the basin. So that's how they make up the water, with delivering that 1,000 acre feet over here. Next slide. The remaining 2,000 acre feet is considered an upper water replacement water obligation with Watermaster. And we're going to try and make this gets complicated, but we're going to try and make it as simple as possible. Okay, next slide. So you got the 3,000 acre feet that's delivered at USG5 plus 1,000 acre feet delivered by the San Gabriel District. That's 4,000 acre feet of replenishment water or replacement water. Next slide. Okay, go ahead, next one. Okay, now it gets fun. So we've been working on this flow chart. The original flow chart was in the 1978 agreement. And so we're going to start with the flow of water, and then we're going to go to the flow of money. Oh, click through this. So Metropolitan delivers, go ahead and should get some, so delivers 3,000 acre feet through USG5 to upper water. Next slide or next click. Upper water delivers that to the city of Alhambra, 3,000 acre feet. Next click. And 2,000 of that is not due to not pumping and taking water through SG5, so that's replenishment water. At the same time, the San Gabriel District delivers 1,000 acre feet through the basin. Next slide. And so you've got 3,000 acre feet going into the basin. The upper water producers, 1,000 acre feet, and 2,000 to the other pumping hole producers.
And the upper water producers can pump freely as they want.
Yeah. Okay. Next slide. Next click. Okay. Now we're going to go with the money. Okay. Go through the click. All right. So Water Master, of course, the producers pay their assessments, and then that goes to Water Master. Next click. Alhambra, you know, I'm going to have Priscilla explain our invoicing in a minute. But so because Alhambra and the water rates between the little district and the treated water rate are different, Water Master subsidizes the Alhambra's water bill. And it's for the benefit of the basin. That's why they do it. Next slide. And then Alhambra pays upper water, 1,000 acre feet at the MWD upper water treated rate, and then 2,000 acre feet with the MWD treatment component. And we're not going to go into details. It's just conceptual here because it gets complicated. Yeah. The more we try and explain it, the more complicated it gets. Next slide. Water Master uses funds to pay 1,000 acre feet at the San Gabriel District rate. Next slide.
And then they use the replacement water funds to pay upper water and the 3,000.
Yeah.
And then upper water is the main.
I'm glad you understand
the main controller. So they take all the money and then they pay Met. And I think that's the next
part. And then when Priscilla processes the Met invoice, she prepares a letter. We send it to the San Gabriel District and say invoices for this amount of money. And then the San Gabriel District invoices us and we pay the San Gabriel District. So I think, are we done with clicks on this slide? Okay. So, Priscilla, you want to walk through your process when you process, when you get the Met invoice, and then what you go through to administer this.
Okay. Thank you, Tom. Yeah. Thank you for you and Jenny already did the hard part. So I did not do the easy part. So I want to describe briefly so how we process the invoice. Each month we receive invoice from MWD. And based on the meter reads at USG5, so we issue two invoices and one letter. One invoice is for City of Alhambra. So that invoice, we bill them for all water MWD deliveries through USG5, but split two charges. One third, as Tom mentioned, so of the total anchor fee at the MWD treated water rate, and two-thirds, which is 62.6% of the total anchor fee at the MWD treatment surcharge. And the second invoice we bill to Water Master for reconcile the full cost of the delivery. In other words, the Water Master fund makes up the difference. So they reverse us upper water for the full cost of water delivery. And the last one, we issue a letter to San Gabriel Valley Municipal Water District, we call Little District. So we notify them how much water was delivered through USG5 in that month. So they means they must deliver one third, which is 37.4% of total anchor fee as replacement water to the spreading ground. So after that, we just wait for a little district, San Gabriel Valley Water District, to bill us back at their share. That's the whole process of the invoice.
So Metropolitan is kept completely financially whole. They just like they're delivering water to any other member agency in terms of revenue. Upper Water is kept financially whole. Alhambra, while the treated water probably costs a little more than pumping groundwater, but they do get a subsidy. I'll call it a subsidy. That's not what it's called in the agreement. Through the Water Master assessments. So Water Master essentially makes up the difference because this whole agreement is beneficial to the entire basin, like a lot of the other assessments that Water Master has. And so this is, I wanna make sure the board understands that 2/3 of this overproduction is in our service area. It's not just us bailing out the little district. 2/3 of the problem is ours or in our service area. It gets a little complicated, but it works. It's worked since 1975 without much modification. So I wanted the directors to be aware of this agreement. It's not the only cooperative exchange agreement in the San Gabriel Valley. There's one from 2013, much more recently, which I was involved in when I was on the Little District Board. It is a cooperative exchange agreement between Upper Water, the San Gabriel District, and Metropolitan to deliver water to the city of Sierra Madre. And in that case, every acre foot that's delivered by MET to Sierra Madre, the Little District pays back Metropolitan in the cyclic account 2 acre feet. So it's a 2-for-1 exchange. So very beneficial for MET. And if there's extra water available from the Little District, they will sell it to MET for $250 an acre foot. So it's a win for both because Sierra Madre is able to deal with their declining groundwater supplies in that Santa Ana sub-area of the Raymond Basin. Metropolitan gets some water in exchange, which stays here and we buy it. Another part of the agreement it allows other MET agencies along the Rialto pipeline in Cucamonga and in Inland Empire Utilities Agency to connect as an emergency connection to the San Gabriel pipeline. The Three Valleys Miramar plant has permission to make an emergency connection. So it was a broader regional agreement that really was a win-win for all parties. So these cooperative exchange agreements are not unusual. Sometimes within the MET family, you'll get, why are we delivering water outside our service area? Well, this is the explanation. So if you hear somebody at MET say, oh, that Alhambra exchange agreement is a bad deal, now you know the history and the reason for it and why it's beneficial for Upper District and the basin.
But you know, Madam Chair, when we had the real bad drought, nobody on this board was here then. What occurred is that there was a fear that San Diego, which had to import 91% of its water, was going to start looking at this exchange. And so our whole board met with the city manager and council of Alhambra. And to say, they were told, this is not in perpetuity. If the drought gets worse, and San Diego asks, because they're part of the MET family, and that was the real, real problem. But do you think this will be forever?
Under the current way, the basin's operated, probably. We could have Stetson look at the modeling. Hypothetically, what if the key well stayed above 250 feet for 10 straight years, 10 consecutive years? So the groundwater levels are higher. Would the water eventually migrate over there and would it be sufficient? Enough. But maintaining the basin at 250 feet means we're not taking advantage of all that storage capacity we have if we narrow the operating range. So I would say probably in perpetuity.
Because we wanted sand.
I don't know if it's, before Jenny retires, but definitely it'll be there when I retire.
We wanted San Gabriel to become a member of MET, but that would have been, they didn't have the money. They all back taxes.
Any other questions? All right, thank you. And now moving on to item 10, informational items. There's a couple good articles about some mussels in there. And moving on to number 11, attorney's report.
Thank you, Madam President. Directors, most of the time spent since the last meeting was committee meetings and board meetings, as well as dealing with some minor personnel issues I help staff with. That was it.
Thank you. Item 12, General Manager's Report.
Yeah, one thing that might come to the board in the next couple of months is Las Virgenes Municipal Water District is taking the lead in starting to look at forming a water joint powers authority, a regional water joint powers authority. I've already had Martin look at some of their draft language on that. It appears to be something that I will want the board to consider being part of. We're still doing our research on it, but I wanted to let you know several member agencies are considering joining this joint powers authority, and I think it might have benefits for us. And lastly, I don't have much else to report, but we did have a fishing event at Crystal Lake. It was wonderful. I caught a small bass, which I returned to the water. But we do have a short video to share with you, and it was very well attended. I was surprised how many scouts and other people were at the event.
That's nice. Just click on that. And
yeah. Yeah. It's cool down.
Yeah. There.
Back here.
There we go.
We're doing some this.
I wanted to bring my kids out and just basically create the memory that we had going back and forth. Been wanting to come to Crystal Lake, so you guys provided the opportunity for it. I was even showing different landmark spots that I remember when I was really young to my son, and it was pretty awesome. Like, we'd go around the bend, and I'd be like, look, there's going to be water coming out of the mountain right here. Sure enough, there it was. So stuff like that's pretty special.
It was a fun experience. Yeah, I don't want to come back.
It's been amazing. We caught a fish that's sitting right over here. It's great. I can't even complain. They clean the roads, you know, accessible now. The lake's stocked. It's beautiful than ever. It's amazing. I love it.
Whoa. Mm-hmm. I think it's excellent. I think it's been a while that I've heard that this many people have come out here. And then, I think this is an excellent event.
I just want to say, like, thank you for the most organized event in, like, such a nice place. So,
thank you guys. We appreciate everything you do. Congratulations. Stop you guys from coaching at the gate. Making sure people are doing the right things with fish these days, whether it's fishing in the creek and being barbless and to people that are taking over when it's motivation for huge for us. So thank you guys for the medium, but not the end. We really appreciate you guys. Thank you guys for hosting the event, and I really appreciate it, and I'm looking forward to the next one.
Smoky bear. That concludes my ATM report.
All right, thank you, Tom. Item 13, Metropolitan Report, Tony.
Just have a small request. The Metropolitan met yesterday, and we approved in the executive committee the salaries of and raises for our four main officers that met. And then we had an agriculture and Native Indian partnership committee meeting. It was interesting because MET gave away a number of grants. Most of them went to Blythe because of their innovative projects. $35,000 for the Historical Museum of Blythe, $100,000 for the Blythe Cancer Research Society there, and $180,000.67 for new boats to patrol the border at Blythe. And so that was interesting. And that was it. We talked about crop rotation yesterday and crop substitution. They now would like to have almonds be, they'd like to substitute grape in the Delta instead of have almonds. But then we learned almonds, there's only one place that you can grow almonds, and it's the Delta. They produce the whole world. And then I found out, I didn't know this, that the almond, the skin of the almond is now used to feed animals. They said there's a whole, so there's a lot, it's just, they're not wasting water really, I don't think, but it's interesting. They wanted to get rid of that. They think we should replace the growing of avocados with some other crop. But the medical profession saying, you know, almonds and avocados are the greatest thing you can eat for your health and longevity. So I'll screw it up. But that's it. That's it.
Thank you, Tom. Item 14, water quality report, Ed.
Well, let me just mention avocados. We have a avocado tree that's been there for over 60 years. My dad lived to 96 years old, so I think avocados are pretty good. So on the water quality report, it's there in the packet. I just wanted to add or kind of the same thing that we did our annual COLA adjustments for employees, and that was passed again based on inflation and the CPI index, that we made that adjustments. That's all.
All right, thank you, Ed. And since we're talking about avocados, my daughter's first food was avocados. So
there you go. Thank you.
Item 15, director's comments. Director Trevino?
I have no comment.
Director Chavez?
No comment.
Director Fellow?
Yeah, I'd like us to adjourn this evening. It wasn't a good week for many of us. David Ramos, who's the husband of MWD director, I think former councilwoman of Burbank, Marsha Ramos, died. Very horrible. He was sick with some form of cancer, and then he was getting better. And in the meantime, and she was taking care of him. In the meantime, she got diagnosed with cancer, and then they both seemed to get cured, or if that's what you can call it, and we're doing well, and he just died in his sleep. And it's very sad. She's a very close friend. And then the other sad news was 2 days ago, Kathy Avila, who's the was the husband of Ernie Avila, president of Aqua, his wife went into surgery and died, and that's very sad. She was very old. She was a noted engineer. She built some very famous bridges in California. So that was very sad. We can remember them in our as we adjourn today.
Thank you, Tony. I just want to say that Tom and Albert and Frank and I got to go to the LA County Sanitation District and get a tour of the La Puente Hills landfill and kind of just see their facility, because I've been wanting to visit there for decades. So thank you for the Sanitation District and their staff for just being amazing, answering all of our questions, just entertaining every little question that we had. And thank you for setting that up. You know, they did offer a tour of their other facility. What is the other one called?
I can't it's the AU Warren,
the Warren
Joint Outfall Facility down in Carson, and the Pure Water Demonstration Plant. So that's their big joint. It used to be called the Joint Outfall Plant. Now it's the AG Warren Water Recycling Facility.
So if anybody wants to go to that, we can do that too. All right. Thank you. And that's it for me. And then 16 future agenda items. Any? All right. Seeing none. Or is there any closed session? Awesome. And so we will adjourn.
And as you adjourn, our next board meeting is not going to be held on July 8th. We will be dark in July. And so it will be the what's the date in August? The second Wednesday of August will be our next board meeting.
Can I mention that Friday morning at 9 o'clock is the Aqua Region 8 conference that will be all on artificial intelligence, and then ZDink and the gentleman from one of the water districts in the valley there. They're going to do a synopsis of the elections. We have 100 people registered, and which makes it the largest regional age conference in history.
I'll be
happy with that.
So,
all July 3rd?
Yeah, all of July 3rd. No committee meeting.
So you'll miss us, Martin.
All
right.
We do not believe we need any committees or board meetings, so we will, you know,
if you need to start a board meeting, we'll anticipate that.
Thank you. And then I would like to adjourn in memory of David Ramos and Kathy Avila.
Thank you, Director.
Thank you.
Yep.
Watch Mexican.